theme of classic Christianity today with one of my favorite subjects and one of my favorite women in the Bible. This is a woman who actually lived under a label, but God had a plan for her life. And no matter what label she was in the Bible, God actually had a plan for her to elevate her above the label. And today I want to talk to you about living beyond the labels, because we all have been labeled in our life. Each one of us have a label in the back of our shirt right now, which actually kind of describes the size that we are. Some of you don't. You cut them out. You're in denial. That's okay. I cut mine out as well. Only in America can you be between a size 8 and a size 14, all in the same day. It's amazing. But you know, labels actually describe what's on the inside of a container. So whether it's a box, whether it's a can, you know, whether it's an article. And I found some really funny labels that I wanted to share with you today, because these are real. This is not fabricated. This is not exaggerated for the sake of this moment. This is real labels. And I cannot wait to share this with you. So one of the labels that I found on a hairdryer actually says this. It says, do not use while sleeping. And some of you are laughing, but some of you are going, And then there's actually a label on a bag of chips. This is what it said. It said, you could be a winner. No purchase necessary. Details inside. So only if you are a thief will you be a winner, because details are inside. I don't understand that. But that's actually a label that we found. Another label on an iron, you know, when you press your clothes, it says, do not iron clothes while on the body. My suggestion is you follow the instructions and do not do that, because there's a lot of things that will be pressed. You know, the Bible says that Christ is coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle, but he's not talking about your skin. Or maybe he is. I don't know. I will invest in Botox. Anyway, sorry. And then there's a sleep aid called Nitol that helps you sleep. For those of us that are from America and we're jet lagged, sometimes we need those aids. How many of you know that? And this is what it says. It says, may cause drowsiness. You're kind of like, I kind of hope it does. It's kind of why I'm buying it. But anyway, reading the labels, very important. There's some Christmas lights. How many of you have Christmas lights that you put on, you know, in your house, outside your house? This is what the label says on Christmas lights. It says, for indoor or outdoor use only. Pardon me. But seriously, where else? I don't know. Indoor or outdoor, in between. Anyway, it's fine. The last one I'm going to share with you is on a Superman costume on the cape, and it says, this cape will not qualify or enable you to fly. Some of your ladies are hitting your husband like, I told you. I told you it was not going to help you fly. But, you know, labels are used to describe us. Labels are given to us, you know, from the time we're born. You know, the minute you come out, you're labeled a girl or a boy. No matter what they say, you're still a girl or a boy. Thank you for that. And then, you know, as you grow up, your mom and your dad or your people, your grandparents, your siblings, they label you. They call you good, bad, ugly, annoying, fun. Brilliant. All my kids were labeled brilliant. Which, by the way, I was going to put a picture of my family on the back screen, but it would take up too much time because there's so many of us. I have 5 children, 4 of which are married, which gives me 4. I have 2 son-in-laws and 2 daughter-in-laws. We call them in loves, because it's not just by law that they're in our family. It's by love that they're in their family. Some of you are like, I'm taking notes. I'm going to use that. So that means I have 5 kids, 4 in-laws, and 5 grandchildren. Are you doing the math? There's no way it would fit on the screen. In fact, I have 2 grandchildren on the way from my daughter-in-law, all by Christmas. So it's too much to keep up with. Taking pictures with everybody is like impossible. So if you want to see my family, just go to my Facebook or Instagram page. You'll be confused. I'll explain it later. It would take too long, and I only have a few minutes. But I do have a family, and they send their greetings. But, you know, you not only labeled when you're born, but think about this. When you die, you know, I don't know if they do this here, but in Nashville, we have cemeteries all across our city, and they're all, you know, the plots of the land where people are buried are marked by what? A headstone. And you know what's on the headstone? A label. Mine's going to say, here lies the brilliant. Actually, I'm not going to. You know what I found out? I found out that you can be cremated and turned into a diamond. I know. That's why I'm so large, because I have so many kids and they're each going to get a carrot. When I try to lose weight, my kids are like, wait a minute. I feel like my future is shrinking, mother. Don't do that. But the truth is, you can actually turn into a diamond. And I think maybe when the trumpet blows, your diamonds will go in be in your crown. I don't know. Sounds good to me. Sounds like a new theory. I'm just going to start it myself. But labels are often what we allow to define us. And if we're not careful with that, those labels will begin to limit us. And today, it's my hope and my desire that I want to share a story with you that will not only inspire you, but hopefully it will empower you to rise above whatever labels that you're under. You know, even being a mom, being a grandmother, being the things that people call me, sometimes label me because sometimes I feel like I'm not a good enough mom, or I'm not a good enough grandma, or I'm not a good enough speaker, or I'm not a good enough pastor. But you know what I realized a long time ago is no matter what people said about me, I have to go to what God says who I am. And today, when you recognize that God is your Father, the creator of the universe, and no matter what someone has told you, whether you've been told you were a failure or whether you've been told you were a success, maybe you had the label of pressure to rise above and do something greater than your parents. Maybe they've squashed you and buried you. Whatever your situation, I'm here to tell you that God has promised that he has a hope for you and a future for you. He would not harm you, but he would prosper you. And I don't know about you, but I'll take that label right there. I'm a daughter of the King. And you're a son of the King if you're a gentleman. But today we're going to talk about rising above the labels. And I'm going to talk to you about a woman by the name of Rahab. If you're not familiar with Rahab, Rahab is an amazing woman with an amazing story. It was actually after Moses died. If you remember seeing the Bible movie, Moses was the guy that had the Ten Commandments. And he was the one that wrote the Ten Commandments. And he led the children out of Egypt, which was considered slavery, into what was called the Promised Land. Somewhere between where they left and where they were going, they got a little bit cranky. And their crankiness started causing them to complain and whine. And I don't know about you, but I, having so many children in my life, I've heard a whine or two. So what I tell my kids is whine or shine. So y'all can use that too. Whine or shine. See what I did there? Anyway, so as they're leaving, they realize that, you know what? These complaints aren't going to work. And what God saw was that, you know, if these people continue the attitude and the mindset that they're leaving Egypt with, if they take that same attitude and mindset into the promised land is just going to be a repeat of Egypt. And some of us wonder why God is not taking us into that next level or into that promotion. It's because you have to change your heart and your mind about your life. You have to change your attitude. You got to stop whining and complaining, because otherwise it's just going to be a repeat performance of the last season. And so it could be that God has held back a promotion for you just because of the way you're talking. Or maybe just because of your attitude, or maybe just because of the way your perspective or your lens in life is. And I want to encourage you today, see the beauty, see the creation, see the joy, see the peace, and God will take you from where you are to where you're going. After Moses died, Joshua and Caleb led the children of Israel into the promised land. And so they're coming upon the land of Canaan, which was promised to them, and this is what they do. They send a couple of spies into the land to spy out the land so that they know how to take over the land. They know how to take over from the enemy. So this is what it says in Joshua 2, chapter 1. It says, Joshua, the son of Nun, secretly sent out two spies and said to them, go and look at the land, particularly the city of Jericho. So the men went into Jericho and stayed at the house of a woman or a prostitute named Rahab. Now, wouldn't you know, the news would love this story. Two spies sent into the house of a prostitute. Story at 11. You don't have news like that here? It's interesting to me that God sent his chosen spies into the house of a woman who was declared, labeled, and known for prostitution. And it's amazing to me that throughout the scripture, she's referred to as a prostitute 6 out of the 8 times that she's actually brought up in the Word of God. So 6 times, she's not just once, not just twice, 6 times she's labeled a prostitute. And it's interesting to me because, you know, in the religious mindset, we don't think that's not really a good idea for men of God and, you know, to be sent into the house of a prostitute. But God knew that Rahab knew how to hide things. And the bigger win was not that everything looked perfect on the outside. The bigger win was that they actually executed the assignment that was given to them. And so God linked them with a prostitute who was used to hiding things, knew how to hide things, knew what to do with men who didn't want to be seen. I'm not giving you a license to do this. I'm just telling you, God is mindful of every single detail in our life. And if his assignment includes people that don't look like you or sound like you or people that you don't think deserve your presence, I just want to ask you to check again. Because God might link you with people that you don't like. You know, some of his greatest treasures are hidden in vessels you would never, ever recognize. People that you would never connect with. And here it is, a prostitute that God is using to bring in the children of Israel into their promised land. Isn't that amazing? She was labeled a prostitute. She was one of the four most beautiful women in the land, and she ran a very, very prosperous business. Rahab had three things against her, three labels against her. She was a woman. And back in those days, women were not highly esteemed. In fact, you know, Pastor Chris mentioned being a, you know, a past senior pastor of a church in Nashville. In fact, when I got up, one of the first times, Pastor Chris, when I got up to speak, a group of men left. And I thought they were just all going to the bathroom together. And then I found out later that they were offended because I'm a woman, in case you couldn't tell. Anyway. And I got up to share the word of God. And it was so funny because, you know, that label really impacted my life. And I'd really come through a whole season of insecurity my entire life. That was the label that I lived under. And finally, God started elevating me above and lifting the label out of my life. And then all of a sudden, these men get up and leave when I'm getting ready to bring one of my first messages. And it comes back to me that they were offended. And I just got so insecure. And that label came right straight back to me. And I began to try to live under that label. And the Lord reminded me, he said, you know what? It's okay. I'll take care of it. I guarantee you, there was a woman in their life that taught them how to say the ABCs. I guarantee you there was a woman in their life that taught them how to add or subtract. I guarantee you some woman in their life taught them something they did not know. So you know what? Don't you worry about it. I'll take care of it. And then God ripped that label right back off of me again. So I don't know what label you're living under, but if you will trust God with all of your heart and don't lean on your understanding and don't even live, you know, don't even allow yourself to live in the box of what other people think about you or what other people say about you. But realize that God has a bigger plan for your life and you can live above the label. So she was a woman. She was a Canaanite woman, which meant she was the enemy to the children of Israel. And then she was a prostitute. So she really didn't have a whole lot of things going for her in this moment. But the beautiful thing about it is you don't have to have just but one thing going for you. And that is what? The favor of God. The assignment of God. The declaration of God. The love of God. The intentionality of God. And the approval of God. And if you have the approval and affirmation of God, nothing is impossible for you. Amen. It's interesting because if we're going to look at Rahab, we're going to see a journey that she takes in this encounter with these spies. And the very first thing that she does is she takes a faith risk. As these guys come into her house, she takes a faith risk. And let me refer to it in Joshua chapter 2. Verse 2 through 7. If you don't have your Bibles, it'll be on the screens. It says, someone told the king of Jericho, some men from Israel have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab. Bring out the men who came to you and entered into your house. They have come to spy out your whole land. But the woman had hid the two men. So she said, they did come here, but I didn't know where they came from. And so in the evening, when it was time to close the city gate, they left. I don't know where they went, but if you go quickly, maybe you can catch them. The woman had taken the men up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flasks that she had spread out. So the king's men went out looking for the spies on the land that leads to the crossing of the Jordan River, and the city gates closed behind them. She was so smart. Not only did she not tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, but she sent them on a way to where the city gates would close behind them. So not only were the men hidden, now they were protected. And that's what a good woman does. And what's interesting to me is if they would have been sent into the land or into the home of a Christian or into somebody that was, you know, religious, they probably wouldn't have been able to lie. But this woman was used to lying and hiding things. So she knew how to hide a spy, even if it was for the other team, right? And so God allowed her to take a risk. And when she took a risk, watch what happens next. When you take a risk, God will reveal to you a revelation. Some of us are looking for that revelation, but we're not able to have the revelation until we're willing to take a risk. Taking a risk means you could have the opportunity to fail. And sometimes in our life, we have the label of success that prevents us from taking those risks because we're more concerned and consumed with what we might lose than what we might actually gain. And so not only did she take a faith risk, but the second thing she did was she actually had a faith reveal. In chapter 2, verse 8, it says, now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof. And she said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you this land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. And we heard what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in any of us because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven and above earth. Isn't it amazing that these spies came into the house of a prostitute and they thought that they were entering into the land of the enemy, and they were concerned about what the enemy thought about them? When they discovered what the enemy thought about them was there was no courage left. They were afraid. Isn't it amazing that when you walk into your workplace, you can be insecure and concerned about what people think of you, when if you realize that God is by your side, they're actually trembling and they're afraid of you? And it's not that we want people to be afraid of us. It's that we want to understand who God is for us so that we can reach through our own fear and insecurity and love the people around us. And it's amazing to me, because what kept the children of Israel out of Canaan for all those years was fear. And the moment they got into the land and spied out the land, they realized that they were more afraid of the children of Israel than the children of Israel were afraid of them. So she had a revelation through that, because of what God had done for them, led them through the Red Sea. All of these proclamations caused them to realize that what God had done for the children of Israel must have made him the one true God. And isn't it interesting that they all agreed that that God was the one true God? Do you know there are people out there that are looking into our lives? And when God has a breakthrough for you, and when God heals your life, and when God heals your marriage, and when God financially blesses you and your business, I love that we prayed for the construction and the business people in this house, because that's how the kingdom is financed. And when it happens, people on the outside are looking in and they're going, your God is the one true God. You know, back in Nashville, we have a saying, especially when my kids tell me they're sorry. I say, don't tell me, show me. I think if we use that in our Christianity and we stopped talking loud but started living loud, more people would understand our God is the one true God. Amen. The last thing she did was she had a faith result. She took a risk, she had a revelation, and then here was the result. In verse 22, but Joshua had said to the two men who had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house, and from there bring out the woman and all that she has, as you told her you would do. And the young men who had been spies went into and brought out Rahab, brought out her father, her mother, her brothers, and all that she had. So they brought all of her relatives and left them outside of the camp of Israel. Then they went and burned the city, and all that was in fire. Only the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron they made into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua spared Rahab the harlot. He could have just said Rahab. Joshua spared Rahab the harlot. That's that label again. And I think by now, I mean, come on, guys. She's hid you. She's protected you. She's done you a favor. You're still labeling her. You know why? Because God wanted us to understand the intensity of this moment. That even though she was known in the city as a harlot, even though her prostitution was her label, God was about to change her stars. And she was about to become someone totally and completely different, known for something totally different. So she dwells in Israel because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy. So Rahab was not just saved from death, but Rahab was saved to life. I think a lot of times we give the salvation altar call and we tell people, you know, we want to save you from eternity in hell. But you know, it's more than that. When you surrender your heart to Christ and you become a follower of Christ, you're not just saved from eternal damnation, you're saved to eternal life. A portion of that life is lived here on the earth, and then the rest of your life is lived in eternity in heaven. So we get to change our label from lost to found. We get to change our label when we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior. Rahab was not just a prostitute, but watch what God does. This is amazing to me. She was destined to be single because prostitutes weren't known for getting married. That wasn't the thing to do back in the day, but God had a man. And God had a plan. Some of the single ladies are like, yeah, all right, okay. God had a man and God had a plan. Hey, hashtag that. Okay. So in Matthew, watch this. In Matthew chapter 5, this is so cool. This is with the lineage of Rahab. So what happened was one of the spies fell in love with Rahab. He saw beyond her label. They got married. And this is what they said. This is what happened. Excuse me. This was the legacy of Rahab. And watch this. In Matthew chapter 5, Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. You notice there's no prostitute prior to that name? She had had a life-altering shift, which caused the label to drop. That's amazing. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse. And Jesse begot David, the king. Do you know who is the son of David, ladies and gentlemen? Jesus. So what I'm telling you today is Jesus' great, 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 great grandmother was a prostitute. Do you know the blood of Jesus not only cleanses us from our sin, but it cleanses us from the sins of our forefathers? So no matter what label you're living under, whatever shame comes with your name, I want to tell you, Rahab went from the hall of shame to, in Hebrews, she is listed in the hall of fame. She is in the hall of faith. You might say to me today, Jillian, I don't know. It might be too late for me. My reputation precedes me. Too many people know who I am. I've got these labels that I'm living under. And I just want to tell you today that you don't have to live under those labels. God can release you today. He can unlimit you today. You do not have to be limited any longer by the labels. You know, most of us limit ourselves by the labels we place on ourselves. We've been labeled by others, but the most devastating labels are the ones we put on ourselves. And I'm here to tell you today the Holy Spirit's going to break those labels and lift them off of you because you have a purpose and a plan, and God needs you to be free. There are things that you have to birth and bring into the earth that you can't do if you live under the label. You've got to be free. So there's a couple of things I just want to share with you. If you want to rise above the label and live beyond the label today, number one, you have to ignore the negative. Don't listen to the negativity. Don't listen to the things people are saying about you. In today's social media world, it's amazing the opinions of people that are posted. Do you know I've never read an opinion of someone and gone, oh, okay, I agree. Someone of an opposing view has never convinced me to their side by a post. And so you've got to stay away from the negative. You can't allow those things to cause you to continue to live under the label. You know what's beautiful? God never consults your past to determine your future. Aren't you thankful that he doesn't call your past and be like, hey, I need a reference? Aren't you grateful that when you come under the blood of Jesus, all things are new, all things are fresh, you get a fresh start, you get a new label, it's called son or daughter of King, amen? We've gotta stop listening to what people are saying and start understanding what God says about us. Ignore the negative. The second thing is you've gotta plan out your future self. You don't just drift into, you know, you don't just drift into your purpose. You don't wake up one day and go, oh my gosh, I'm so awesome. You have to plan to be awesome. You have to plan for your future self. You have to make a plan. You know, you'll never leave where you are until you decide where you'd rather be. And most people are staying where they are because they just don't know where to go. You know, my friends here that came with me from Nashville, we all flew together. And, you know, we didn't walk up to the gate and the counter and tell the Delta or the, you know, Virgin Australia agent, just let me go wherever. Just send me wherever. No, we knew exactly where we were going. And let me tell you, in the middle of our trip, half of us were rerouted. But you know what's beautiful? Because we knew our destination. No matter what happened, no matter what disruption, no matter what reroute happened in our life, we actually arrived at our destination because we knew where we were going. And so you may feel like God's rerouting you. You may feel like you've been delayed or denied, but I'm telling you, God has a destination for you, and it might take you a little bit longer, and they might lose your luggage. But you and your luggage will arrive as long as you know where you would rather be. So identify and define your future self and where you'd rather be. The third thing is just be honest about your mistakes. You know, a lot of us live in denial, and we don't accept the fact that we made a mistake. And when you accept the fact that you make a mistake, then all of a sudden you can also accept the resolve that God has for you. God can't fix something that you don't admit is broken. So when you admit it's broken, God can fix it. So here's what I'm going to tell you today. Family, admit it, quit it. Simple. Some of you are great at admitting it, but you got to quit it. So once you admit it, quit it. So just admit your mistake. If you're married in this room and you've made a mistake, just tell your spouse, I'm sorry. If you made a mistake with your children, just apologize and tell them you're sorry. It's really okay. It's not going to be the end of the world. Swallow your pride, admit it, and then quit it. You'll never correct what you're unwilling to confront. It cannot be corrected until you're willing to confront it. One of the last things I want to talk to you about is getting a new group of friends, you know, because we become like those we hang around. And I'm so honored and excited to be a part of City Point Global Church because now I have new friends and I have new family. And that means that we have a global impact and a global outreach. And I love the fact that we get to be a part of that because now we get to be friends. And what I have, I will share with you. And what you have, hopefully you'll share with me. If not, I'll tell Pastor Lee on you. She'll make you. I'm just kidding. But you know, when you change your friends, you change the dynamic of who you're going to become. Because you always become like those you hang around. And if you're not certain if you need to change your friendships, here's how you know. Take your pulse. Check your heart. Check your heart. Check your mind. And check how you feel when you leave the presence of others. If you feel less than, if you feel devalued, that's probably not a good person to hang around with. If you feel elevated and affirmed, you want to hang out with that person. Because they're drawing out the greatness in you. And they're allowing you to rise above the label. People that don't let you rise above the label are buried under their own, and they don't want to be there alone. Misery loves company. Show how you can care about others, because life is more about towels than it is titles. You know, just in March of this year, we had the transition of Oasis Church becoming City Point Church. And I had a complete change of label, a complete change of title. I went from being the CEO and the lead pastor to becoming an adult pastor under the covering of City Point Church. And if it was all about me, and if it was all about my kingdom, and if it was all about my influence, I would probably have a problem with that. But you know what it's all about? It's all about God getting the glory. It's all about what we can do together as long as we don't care who gets the credit. It's all about merging. It's all about partnership. It's all about connection. Because how many of you know we are better together? And so even though my title has changed, my towel remains the same, and I will use my towel until I die to serve the world and to serve others. And it just so happens I get to do it now in Australia. Whoop, whoop. So excited. And then lastly, be patient. If you're going to change your reputation and change your label, listen, people, you know, honestly, they got to see the fruit before they hear your voice. You can't make promises that aren't produce. A lot of people talk a big talk, but they're not walking it out. And so, you know, the Bible says that they know us by the fruit, right? The fruit of the Spirit. There's a lot of people that talk about Jesus and talk about religion, but they have no kindness. That's a fruit of the Spirit. So be patient as you're changing the label and you're changing your reputation. Allow the Holy Spirit to go in and work on your heart. Patience is not wasted time. Patience is invested time. You can't get impatient because God's not a microwave God. I say like this, he's a slow cooker. Back in Nashville, I like putting my food in the slow cooker and turning it on for 10 hours on low because of the richness of the flavor. And if you want people to experience the richness and the flavor of God's love and his peace and his joy in your life, stop patting your foot in front of the microwave and start chilling out in the slow cooker. Amen? Patience is not simply the ability to wait. It's actually how we behave while we're waiting.